Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
All right, welcome back for hour number three of Fantasy Sports Today. Yeah, that's right, three. Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Joe Galina along with George Kurtz and the Fantasy Prince, Sean Angle. Big weekend in terms of waiver wire activity in fantasy baseball. Game of Thrones series finale. And, yeah, we always talk a little football. We talked a little Jets earlier in the show. And we were trying to, you know, just take a quick look. I know it's way early in the preseason for fantasy football, but with drafts, the NFL draft was done about a month ago, or whatever. So we talked to AFC East, AFC North. Let's take a look at the AFC South real quick, there, George. This is a very competitive division when you look at the teams involved here. You got Texans finished 11-5 last season. Colts really rebounded, you know, with Andrew Luck finally healthy, having a good offensive line protecting him. They ended up 10-6. Titans always seem to find a way to win games. Mark was led by Marcus Mariota, but 9-7 last season. And the Jaguars took a real step back after the previous season, basically just being, you know, a heartbeat away from beating the Patriots and the competing in the Super Bowl. They ended up at 5-11. So this could turn out to be a very, very competitive division, George.
Oh, I think you can make an argument top to bottom. This is the best division in football, right?
Yes, I agree.
Mm-hmm. What division is better? I mean, all the teams, Houston, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, mm-hmm. right? We're talking playoff teams, Tennessee. They're all should be battling each other. I don't know if there's another division you could say that about. The mm-hmm. AFC East is a disaster, right? Do you want to go, let's look at divisions real quick here. Is there another division where we have four teams that are legit playoff contenders? Raiders, no, in the West. East, we already talked about. South is good. North has the Bengals, so forget that. You look in the mm-hmm. NFC, you got the Giants in the East. Forget about it. Washington, too, for that matter. Detroit's not really a threat in the North. South, I don't know, Buccaneers, I doubt it. And the West, you have the Arizona Cardinals. Yeah, so I'd say this is probably the best competitive division in all of football. I think it's going to be tough. Andrew Luck's mm-hmm. back, right? Now being an elite quarterback, yeah. And we're much more confident in taking him this year in drafts. You're not worried mm-hmm. about it. Nick Foles in Jacksonville, yeah, he's going to cure all their ills. I don't think so. I have major doubts about Nick Foles. Plus Leonard Fournette, what's going on there. That's a disaster waiting to happen, at least in my mind. Tennessee, do you believe in Mariota? Yeah, but that defense. I think they got tired of the offense not being able to pull their weight, and they just said, "Screw it, we're done." Tired. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, and I don't know how that works. Yeah, and I said I don't think Foles is the end all to be all there. Tennessee with Mariota, is he the answer to all their problems? Oh man, I think it's going to be interesting. Him and Winston in Tampa Bay, they came out the same draft, right? Both teams mm-hmm. may end up moving on from these guys at the end of the year. I think it's going to be very intriguing to watch and see what happens there with mm-hmm. both. Right, it is. It absolutely mm-hmm. is with mm-hmm. both these teams. Either put up or shut up at this point, and they both, I don't know if either one can get it done. I truly don't know mm-hmm. if either one can get it. If either team can get it done here, I just don't. I don't believe. That's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in either team.
You believe in the Texans? I mean, they're one of their biggest needs this offseason has been to shore up that offensive line. Deshaun Watson, mobile quarterback, but still getting sacked left and right. They did pick up Tytus Howard in the first round, 19th overall. Do you think they've done enough to help him, you know, stay on the field? Because eventually, you know, we saw what happened to Luck when he didn't have an offensive line there.
These quarterbacks have to realize, just because you're a mobile quarterback doesn't mean you need to run all the time. There are times you got to get down. Get down. All right, we've seen this. Cam Newton is built like a brick truck, a tank. Yeah, he's getting hurt all the time now because you can't take all these hits over and over again. And Deshaun Watson is not built like Cam Newton. And you see it over and over. I mean, I go back to that Cowboy game last, the Sunday night game last year. He was, I thought Bill O'Brien was trying to get him killed. I thought Deshaun Watson was trying to get himself killed. He kept taking shot after shot after shot. Sooner or later, your offensive coordinator, Bill O'Brien, has to go, you know what? Three-step drops, get rid of the ball. No more of this running around anymore. Yeah. No more design runs. You can't do this. You're going to get him killed. All right? The NFL, running quarterback is nice, Joe. And I want that. If I'm drafting a quarterback, I want a quarterback who can move. I understand why Haskins fell a little bit in the draft. He's another statue. I get that. But that doesn't mean you need to be – you're not a running back. You can't – you're not built like that. You know, you're just not. You can't be taking these shots. You know, design running plays, fine. I get that. But you can't be taking these shots over and over again. I mean, it's rare. Think about it. How many running quarterbacks have a long career in this day and age? I mean, Mike Vick ended very quickly. Once he got started to get the injuries let up, he couldn't really throw the ball. He's done. You know, you need to be very careful with these guys if you want their career to last a long time, or else it's just it's not going to happen here. They need to figure out how to keep Deshaun Watson healthy. If that means staying, keeping him in the pocket more, fine. That means three-step drops to get rid of the ball, fine. Do what you have to do. But this is your job as a coaching staff, and it's your job as Watson too, because part of it is his problem, where you know it's the macho thing. You want to be a man. You know, these linebackers are going to kill you. All right, this is their job. It's what they're built to do. And when they see you running, they want to kill you. There's nothing wrong with sliding. Everybody wants you to slide. The only time you need to go for it, you know, fourth quarter, extending a drive, and you know, to get that first down, fine. To get that touchdown, fine. First, second quarter, third quarter, no, not fine. Get down.
Right, right. What do you think of this team overall? We got hopefully Will Fuller could stay on the field. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins, you know, for me, he's, you know, one of the top three receivers. I know Devontae Adams getting a lot of play, but DeAndre Hopkins, I think, arguably the best wide receiver in football.
Absolutely. I mean, listen, I love, you know, I like Deshaun Watson. We love Hopkins, but they have holes in his offense. I don't know if Lamar Miller can have another year like last year. He had a couple of really big games. I would have thought they should have been bigger players in the Le'Veon Bell sweepstakes. You know, when he was available.
Hey, he might be available.
That would be just freaking wild if they traded him now. I don't think that happens, mind you, but man,
Me neither.
Would be interesting. So anyway, Lamar Miller, he's an average running back, right? I mean, that's really what he is. Last year, nice 4.6 yards a carry, but still he only had 973 yards, only 5 touchdowns. I mean, yay. Those are really pedestrian numbers outside of the yards per carry there. Now, they literally just released, yesterday or the day before that, not that he was great anyway, and you were dying to get him. And let's face it, you weren't, but they just released, his name is, I can't remember right now, a tight end. Anyway, whatever, he's gone. Maybe the rookie, Cahal Warring, takes over there. Jordan Thomas, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, supposedly he's
there,
got some good hands.
Yeah, but, you know, rookie, tight end is a tough position to learn, because not only do you have to know all the receiving routes, but you need to be able to learn the blocking schemes too. There's a lot to learn there for a tight end. That's why it's so hard for a rookie tight end to come in and really light it up. But Warring, and, you know, listen, I just completed a rookie dynasty league. You know, we had our rookie draft. I did draft Cahal Warring in the last round. So there's some faith, but I know this year, it's pretty much his redshirt year. You know, we have a taxi squad. He'll be on my taxi squad. I don't expect him to contribute at all this year to my fantasy team. Maybe next year or 2 years down the line, that's when he'll get something done here. So I think, like I said, I like this team. I do, but there are still holes. Like I said, the running game is pedestrian, average at best. I don't know if you have a tight end on this roster you can trust. And let's face it, if DeAndre Hopkins ever gets hurt, this team's done on offense.
Yes, and it was Ryan Griffin, I believe, was the name of the tight end you were looking for.
Ryan Griffin, that was the guy.
Yes, yes, yes. So 11
got arrested
wins
on draft night. Real smart guy.
Yeah. Smart guy. Yeah. Do you think they could repeat the 11 wins? Does it depend more on health? I mean, you know, it's not just. I mean, what do you think about their chances for repeating as the division champs?
Well, it was
worried more about the Colts, right?
It always depends on health, right? Everybody needs to stay healthy. The problem is, like I said, the division, just for the sake of argument, everybody in the division is going 3-3 against each other. All right? So I'm just gonna, three losses right there for Houston. You open up, look at the schedule for Houston. All right? This is a nightmare. I mean, a complete nightmare. So, no, they're not going to go 11 wins. If I'm giving you three losses in the division, opening night, go to New Orleans. Oh, yeah. That'll be fun. You know, sure, no problem. That's four losses right there. You play Jacksonville, then you go week three, go to the Chargers. I mean, I know they're playing in a soccer stadium, you know, pretty much my high school stadium, but still,
Chargers,
it's the Chargers.
Good team. Yeah.
Chargers, very good team
this year.
Yeah, they may be top to bottom. They may be the best team in the AFC. I mean, they might be that team there. I think that's a loss. You're playing Carolina, Atlanta, back-to-back at home. I don't know. You could beat one. You could lose to both. You know, you could beat both. So I think that's another loss somewhere in there, one of those two. That's five losses. Then you're at KC. It could be six. Then you get a little easier. I'm not going over divisional games. I already said they're going 3-3. You get Oakland at home. That should be a victory. But then you're at Baltimore, New England. You know, you do get Denver. You're at Tampa Bay. I mean, this is a rough schedule, Joe. I think they're 8-8, I think, would be a pretty good season for this team. You know, I think it's going to be tough. I'm going the under. If you get saying 11 wins the over under, I'm going under. I think I would make the over under probably. I'd probably make it 8.5, and I think I would go the under.
How about the Colts? We talked about how they fixed their offensive line. Andrew Luck is healthy. They drafted Paris Campbell. Give themselves another guy other than T.Y. Hilton, another weapon for Andrew Luck. What are we thinking about them this year? You could even take a look at their 10 wins last year. You could even take a look at their schedule to see if they have a little bit of an easier schedule than the Texans.
Well, they're not going to. Generally, and if you're in a division, you have the same schedule other than what two games will be a little different. So, you know, once again, they got the division problem as well. Tough divisions. There's going to be a couple of losses there. They open up at the Chargers. Once again, good luck.
At Chargers.
You know, then
okay.
They get that at the Chargers. Yeah, it's probably a loss. Remember, they're opening two games are at Chargers, at Titans. You know, I think they're a better team than the Titans, but still not fun. You're really hoping to go 1-1 there. Then week three, you get Atlanta. I think you're a better team than Atlanta, but that's not an easy team to face. That's going to be rough. Oakland, then you're at KC. Could easily be another loss there. And then you get Denver. You get at Pittsburgh. Yeah, for joy. You do get Miami. And I'm looking at Tampa Bay again. At New Orleans. That's rough. I mean, those are losses here. I think if I was making their over-under, it's probably around 9. You know, 9.5. And I think they'll win between 9 and 10 games. You can see how this is. I think the South has the roughest schedule of any. The Souths play each other. AFC South plays the NFC South, and that's rough because there are a lot of good teams in there. And you throw in those of Indianapolis, you throw in those conference games. We now say you're playing Pittsburgh. You know, fun. That's just a joy. And it looks like you're playing New England. Was there a New England game in there? No, but you're playing Kansas City. You're playing the Chargers. They're playing the AFC West. Is what they do as well. It's going to be tough for any of these teams to run away with this division, I think, because there's so many tough games here. I think they're all going to try and win between 8 and 10 games. I think there'll be some losses here that'll be heartbreaking, you know, because they're playing so many good teams that you're going to lose games in the last, you know, last play of the game, 31-30, stuff like this. I think this could happen multiple times, which could sink a season real quick. All these teams, when you're playing teams that you're definitely better than, you know, the Oakland Raiders, the Miami Dolphins, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you better take care of business against those teams. You can't be losing the teams you have to beat.
Right. On Titans, like I said, 9-7 last season. This could be the swan song for Marcus Mariota, no? They added another wide receiver in A.J. Brown. He gets back Delanie Walker, arguably his favorite receiving option. What do you think about the Titans and Marcus Mariota?
Well, I agree. You know, this could be his swan song if he doesn't play better. You know, mm-hmm. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You know, it's tough with quarterbacks because once they get drafted in the first round, you expect them to be the next big thing. Right? I mean, we do, and it just hasn't happened. Ryan Tannehill, I don't think, is a true threat to his job, not without injury. We know Tannehill's a failed starter as well, so I'm not worried about that per se. But, you know, they've surrounded him with better weapons, right? The running
Adam
game
Humphreys
is good with
too.
Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
Adam
mm-hmm.
Humphreys helps the slot receiver there, Corey Davis, who maybe we always put too much on him. But then again, Mariota mm-hmm, seems mm-hmm. to have problems getting him the ball as well. Delanie Walker, if he can stay healthy, we know is a good tight end. But we expect more from this offense, and Mariota has not been able to deliver it yet. Now, next year is a very strong quarterback draft. So I you do wonder. You know, I don't know if this team's going to fall apart to really get one of those top quarterbacks, but you wonder if they'll take a secondary one if things don't mm-hmm. work out, you know, and the next thing I wonder is this, you know, in regards to Mariota. All right. When's the big contract coming? You know, if you're going to keep him, you know, what are you going to do? You know, see where I'm going with this? I mean, when do you need to make up your mind by? You signed a 4-year deal in July of 15. So that means what, 15, 16, 17. This is last season of that deal, you know, and what's going to happen there? You know what I'm saying? I know Mariota says he's put on weight this offseason, good weight, to try and stay healthy. All right. Once again, but he's another running quarterback that don't take the hits. Get down. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't know if his arm is good enough for him to do that consistently. I think he has to run to be successful. If he's not running, he doesn't have to, you know, he's not a good enough thrower where he can throw himself into where he's a great quarterback. So I think he's in a tough spot. My bottom line is this, Joe. I don't think he's a franchise quarterback. I don't.
There you go. I think you're probably right on that. And in the less than 2 minutes we have, you've already discussed, and I agree with you, the concerns about Nick Foles, who really, when you look at him outside of his time with the Eagles, has been, you know, a marginal quarterback at best, right? But Jaguars are all in on him. When you look at the wide receivers, you know, questionable. I mean, D.D. Westbrook, we keep on talking about his upside, but, you know, show it to us on the field. Marquise Lee coming back from an injury, right? Leonard Fournette is Leonard Fournette. I mean, there are issues.
That's putting it nicely. All right. There are issues, yeah. I mean, I agree with everything you said. Foles has done nothing outside of being in Philadelphia. And I don't know if that's mm-hmm. going to work. And I just don't know if it's going to work. In Jacksonville, I don't think it will. Fournette's a disaster, and they probably have to move on from eventually. He's a head case. He's causing all sorts of problems. Got arrested, right? Because he wouldn't pay a speeding ticket. The receiving core is a whole bunch of number twos, right? Bad choice over and over again. You really don't have a tight end. This is a team. The defense doesn't like the offense. No, I don't see them being a threat this year at all.
It's a tough division. But they all have playing a tough schedule as well, so it'll be interesting. All right, we'll be back. We'll turn our attention back to fantasy baseball, fantasy sports today.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Sports Today. Joe Galita, George Kurtz, the Fantasy Prince, Sean Engel producing our show. So, George, is Adam Gase the three-eyed raven? Maybe that's why he moved the camera at the NFL draft. Maybe he didn't want anyone, focusing in on, you know, every once in a while he gets the crazy eyes. So maybe he just didn't want, you know, any memes being made out of him.
I mean, my guess is that It's weird. Gase is just, it's just so weird, Joe. It's just so weird because how do you allow that to happen? Where I'm guessing the owners didn't know about him moving away at the draft thing. Must not have known about that, because how do you let a guy who's clearly being conniving a little bit to be your GM, be all controlling of your team? I just don't understand that. I don't understand that at all. Of how this could have played out here, where a guy who's done nothing at all in his history.
It's not like he has a Super Bowl in his back pocket.
Right. This is not like he's Bill Belichick coming to your team. Okay, I get that. Bill Parcells type. All right, I get that. Someone like that. This is not that. I just don't understand it. Or the hot name, you know, where, we got to get this guy. We have to overpay for free agents. We have to overpay and give this guy more control to get him to come coach your team. He's not that. I just don't understand. It's at the bottom left. I just don't understand this, of why you let him finagle this. And I'd be pissed if I'm Chris Johnson that I had to do this. And I would, I don't know. It's just strange. It's really just a strange situation. Hey, Gates, they did a power play. You know, and it's worked out for him. But, man, he's going to get crushed by the New York media if this doesn't work out. I mean, absolutely bum-crushed. Every decision he makes now is going to be put under a microscope of what he does. Good luck with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely agree. Okay, so a couple of lineups trickling in. No Josh Donaldson for the Braves, which means Austin Riley makes his first start at third base. His natural position will be batting fifth for the Braves, and their outfield shakes out with Acuna leading off in center field. Nick Markakis batting cleanup in right field, and Johan Camargo in left field. So George Austin Riley, who's been getting off to a white-hot start, and he's playing his natural position today, George.
Yes, no Josh Donaldson. He's out of the lineup. Just once, it's Sunday. You know, this will happen as we get closer to game time. We're going to hear a ton of guys that are out of the lineup today. They are Sunday day of rest. A lot of catchers won't play today. So people, need not panic if your guy's not playing. It's just a day of rest. Donaldson is the first of, I assume, many guys that we will hear is out of the lineup. I love when my phone goes off, by the way, even though it's on Do Not Disturb. Way to go, iPhone. Wow. It is on Do Not Disturb. I have no idea why this phone's going off.
It's got a mind of its own. Scary.
These smart computers and all. You got Alexa here is always listening to you, and now Siri's always listening to you. They probably do have a mind of their own. It's Terminator. It's happening.
I was going to say that. You took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah, they predicted this back in the early 80s, where machines would be taken over. Speaking of the Terminator, did you see that video of Arnold Schwarzenegger getting drop kicked in the back?
No,
he was at some kind of function in South Africa, and he was I don't know what he was doing at that stage, but I guess he was he had been attending his Arnold Classic Africa event, and his attention was diverted, and somebody just came up behind him and drop kicked him. So he took it like a man. But he said, he tweeted, "Thanks for your concerns, but there's nothing to worry about. I thought I was just jostled by the crowd, which happens a lot. I only realized I was kicked when I saw the video, like all of you. I'm just glad the idiot didn't interrupt my Snapchat." So, if you get a chance to watch the video, it's pretty interesting. So, there we go. And no Andrew Benintendi for the Red Sox today. So probably just like you said, it's Sunday. It's a day of rest. Maybe Benintendi going to have a bowl of pasta because it is Sunday and he's got the vowel at the end of his name.
Once again, we're going to hear a lot about these today. And listen, nothing wrong with a little pasta. Nothing wrong at all with a little pasta. I wouldn't mind a little pasta. I just had some pizza during the commercial. So,
did you? Nice.
You got to eat what you can here, right? Doing 6 hours of radio here. So those 3-4 minute commercial breaks, that's din-din, or in this case, breakfast and lunch.
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple of more games that took place yesterday. A's beat the Tigers 4-1. Their 15th straight win over the Tigers. You're a betting man, right? I mean, do you automatically take the A's over the Tigers today?
Do I automatically take the A's over the Tigers today? I don't know about automatically. That being said, Tigers, bad team. All right. Very bad team, Detroit Tigers. They're not all that very good. Now, when it comes to where you say automatically take a team, there are always games on the docket every week.
Yeah.
I mean, every day that we, oh, my God, this team's definitely going to beat this team. The problem is, you know, with the spread, if you lose, you're going to get bum crushed. That's why generally when the spreads are high, you parlay these games. You try to get that spread down a little bit on the money line there. That's what we try and do. And listen, hey, I thought the Mets would win the last two games. That didn't work out so well. Right? Who would have thought the Mets were going to lose? Especially with DeGrom on Friday night. That's a killer. I mean, because we all wanted the Mets. Either you were stacking them in DFS or you're betting on them, and that didn't work out. You know, and then you got bum crushed. You just got absolutely bum crushed there. So you got to be very careful with these games. You're saying, oh, it's an easy win. You know, you got to be very careful. Stockwatch. Cam went through a Stockwatch last week, Joe, and it was interesting. Where if you would have bet $100, and I understand that's a high amount, and I certainly don't bet that much on Arrow, but if you would have bet $100 on just about any team every game this season, including the teams that are playing great, you're probably still down money because of the juice you lose when they lose. You're losing 3 to 4 to 1 sometimes. So it's amazing. You have to bet your dogs. That's not to say you automatically have to take every dog there is, but you need to find your dogs that are going to play well for you, that are going to pay off for you, because those are the ones that you'll make more money on.
Yeah, good point. Good point. To let you know, Mike Fier is pitching for the A's. If that helps you out a little bit there.
How the hell is that guy having no hitter?
Exactly. Two, right? Did he have two in his career?
Yes.
Or am I thinking of somebody
else?
How's
he have two? Yeah,
that
one.
Was a second. So Chris Davis wasn't in the lineup yesterday, just a rest day, because he's back in the lineup today, batting cleanup and DHing. Had that hip issue, but since he's come back, he's batting like 400 in his last five games with two home runs. So, Susan Slusser covers the A's. You can follow her on Twitter. She had mentioned that it was just a rest day and nothing to worry about. And she was right, because he's back in the lineup today. So,
by the way, just to let you know, since you talked about the Oakland Athletics, what I'm talking about is the Athletics are minus 205. I mean, if you're betting 100, you lose. Now you're losing over $200. So, I said, better be a little careful now when you go with these things. I don't trust Fears enough where I'm going to bet him anyway, because he can get lit up. The over-under is 10. Which lets you know that they're expecting a lot of runs to be scored in this game, and I don't blame them. I think a lot of runs are going to be scored as well here. But as far as betting wise, no.
So you have to put 205 to win 100 back for the A's?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to touch this game. I know the Tigers are terrible. I understand that. But I just don't trust Fears. I don't trust them. I'll find better.
At the same time, they do.
They do. Everybody's do. No, thank you. I'm gonna pass. Cleveland's minus 270. Is that the high on today? It is the high today. Cleveland over Baltimore is the high today as far as favorites are concerned. So that's almost 3-1 that they think Cleveland and Bieber are going to beat Baltimore. Probably a pretty good bet.
I need a good start from Bieber.
So do I.
Yeah. Come
I'm
on.
I'm right there
come
with
on.
You,
Get
Joseph.
It done, Bieber.
Yeah. I think I need a
Reds
W.
Reds beat the Dodgers. There you go. Reds beat the Dodgers 4-0. Walker Buehler, 6 innings, gave up 4 runs. Only one was earned, 7 Ks, 0 walks. Jesse Winker hit his 10th home run. Cody Bellinger, 2-for-3, batting .409. Break up the Reds, George. I didn't notice this, but they're after a 1-8 start, 20-17 since that 1-8 start. Tyler Malley, 6 shutout innings yesterday. Nick Senzel, 1-for-4 from the leadoff spot for the Reds. You happy what you've seen with them so far? I know the .238 batting average, but 3 home runs, 4 stolen bases. I mean, it's not like he's getting annihilated, right? I mean, he's hanging in there. I mean, you want to see that batting average a little higher, but basically it's just about like a week and a half or so. But the 3 home runs and 4 stolen bases encouraging, no?
He's running, which I really didn't expect to happen. I didn't see that he was going to be running as much here. I think he'll hit fine. I have no issues with him. Once again, outfielder too, so you can give him a little bit more patience anyway, because we need all these guys here. Another top prospect who's moved. Aren't we? Isn't that strange? We're seeing a lot of top. I mean, Riley. They're forcing him to the outfield. Because you got Donaldson,
right,
Senzel,
right.
Third base, shortstop, second base. They have that covered. Let's move him to the outfield. And it's not such an easy transition, by the way.
He's a natural second baseman, Senzel, right?
I think he's actually a third baseman.
Oh, was it third? Okay. And then I think they
I think it's third.
They moved them more than once, if I'm not mistaken, right? Because then they started last season. Yeah,
I think it was third, second, short.
Leave the kid alone.
Yeah, so yeah, I agree with you. You should leave the kid alone. Yeah. I mean, playing the outfield is not so easy. You know, they just think, oh, we'll stick with the outfield and catch fly balls. You know, it's not that easy. I understand you can get away with it more in Cincinnati because, let's face it, if it's a fly ball, generally it's out of the ballpark anyway. So not much to worry about there. But it's not as easy as they make it out to be.
Mm-hmm. So for the Dodgers, Kenta Maeda to the IL this week. Supposed to a thigh issue. Is this just more noise in terms of manipulation of that 10-day IL, do you think, George, or this is something real? Supposedly, everything you're reading, that he's probably going to come off the IL when ready.
I read it the same way you do. You read it. I think it's it's 10 days, so he's going to miss a start anyway. Let's put him on the DL, the IL, and we'll call somebody up. And we see this a lot. Now, especially with pitchers, he's going to miss one start. Well, you know what? Then you might as well put him on the IL and call somebody else up, and we get an extra roster spot anyway. So, yeah, I think in regards to Maeda, he will come back immediately once eligible.
Right. Hyun-Jin Ryu, since we're talking about the Dodgers, man, he's been their ace, right? 1.72 ERA, 0.73 whip. And since last season, George, going back to last season, his last 23 starts, 12-4, 1.87 ERA with a 0.899 whip.
Ryu has been there. I mean, Kershaw's been very good, too. And they have great pitching anyway. But Ryu's been fantastic. And he's pitching better than – remember all those guys I named before? He's pitching better than all of them.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, and I don't know if anybody saw this coming. That's 32 years old. All of a sudden, to be pitching like this. I mean, his numbers are great across the board. You already said it, 1.72 ERA. Whip 0.73, striking out more than a batter per inning. 5 wins. I mean, wow. Guy is great across the board. That being said, he screams so high to me. I mean, really, he screams so, because I think you should be able to get something great for him. So I'm moving him. I think that's the bottom line for me, is I'm moving him.
There you go. All right. And are you happy with what you've seen of Kershaw? I mean, the numbers, I mean, it's not like he's been as dominant as we're used to seeing, but still, you know, pitching well. And you bring up, you know, I keep on going back to your voices in the back of my head. I mean, do you really think that this guy doesn't hit the IL at least one more time before season's over, especially with the way the Dodgers manipulate this thing?
And that's just what I was going to say. Yeah, he's been better than I expected. Not the Kershaw of old, you know, but he's been better than I expected him to be. Once again, he's striking out about a batter per inning. ERA's a little high, 3.4, when generally you want him, what, 3/4 of a run lower you were hoping for in the Kershaw of old? His whip is as good as it's ever been. He doesn't walk anybody. So that's fine, but that's my issue here. When's the next IL stint coming, and how long is it? I could take a Kenta Maeda IL stint. He misses a start, maybe two. Who cares? You know, but is it going to be 6 weeks off and somewhere in late July, August? That's the issue. That's always going to be my issue with Kershaw. And also, if the Dodgers run away with that division, are they going to pull the old, you know, what the Red Sox used to do, the Yankees used to do it as well? Well, you know what? He's not hurt, but, you know, 3-week break in August, not a bad idea. On the IL, he's got shoulder issues. You know, and you give him three weeks off to get him ready for the playoffs. That wouldn't shock me either.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Absolutely. Okay. Corey Seager, any concerns about him? I mean, you know, coming off last year's injury, 0-for-4 yesterday, so far 4 home runs, 19 ribbies. Basically, patience with him, right? I mean, it's not like you're definitely not going to drop him. And if you try to trade him at this stage, probably not worth, you're not going to be able to get full value for him.
No, you'd be selling low. You know, if you're going to trade him right now, the RBIs are fine. All right, so that's one category he's doing well for you. The 4 home runs, sure, you see a little bit more out of that. But once again, I think it's he's another guy who's going to be a much better second half player than first half player. So I'd buy. I wouldn't have a problem buying him if I can get. You're going to sell him to me for cheap. I'll buy. I don't think you can sell him because I think you're selling low. You won't get value for him. So I think let's say you don't want him in your lineup. Maybe you have another shortstop. You know, maybe Marcus Semien. You want to throw him out in there for a week and wait for Seager. I'm okay with that too, but I'm not releasing him. And like I said, you probably can't sell him for value, so I'm not selling him either.
Right. You brought up this guy earlier in the show. Astros beat the Red Sox 7-3. Corbin Martin yesterday, 4 innings pitched, 4 walks, 5 hits, no strikeouts. Also was having some problems with his command in the minors this season, 4.1 walk per nine. Do you think he sticks, or he's going to have to pitch better to stick with this club?
Do I think he sticks? That's an interesting question, and certainly not easy. I think when it comes to Corbin Martin, all right, I do like Corbin Martin. Hey, I mentioned he's the number two prospect as far as pitching in the Astros organization. All right, so this is not some some nobody. This is a prospect, a top prospect that they want to do well. Whitley is their number one. Right, there's very little doubt that Whitley is their number one. He's 23 years old. Pitching Fenway Park. That's rough. For your second start, that's rough. Your first road start.
Yes.
There. I'm actually road start off end. So that's not easy. You know, so I'm going to give him a little bit of a break for yesterday's start. You mentioned four innings, three runs, two earned. The four walks are probably most concerning out of everything, along with no strikeouts. I'm going to give him a break there. Does he stick? Well, that really depends on, A, how well he pitches. He needs to do better than yesterday, right? No doubt he needs to do better than yesterday.
Yes.
And, you know, does somebody else figure it out, right? I mean, McHugh, we know Cole's not going anywhere. Verlander's not going anywhere. Does someone else figure out? Does someone push him out? Does Whitley pitch better in the minors? So there's a lot of questions. My guess would be no. I don't think he'll stick.
There you go. All right, we'll be back. Finish off the show. More baseball. Fantasy Sports Today. Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, we're back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Sports Today. Joe Galina, George Kurtz, and the Fantasy Prince, Sean Angle. So, hey, Mike Trout's a pretty decent player, George, no?
He's not bad. I've heard of him. He's not bad.
Yeah. In his 250th home run, and he's the sixth American League player to hit 250 home runs before turning 28 years old. God, you got to hope that the Angels could just surround them with some better players.
I agree. As a baseball fan, I agree with you. I mean, I completely agree. They have next to no pitching there. Maybe Ohtani next year when he can pitch again. Maybe that turns around. He did it a home run last night, Ohtani. But, I mean, it's a shame. It really is a shame for a big market team. They've made mistakes with the guys they do hand out contracts to, Pujols, Josh Hamilton, when they took on that contract. It's like, oh, my God. But you would hope they surround it with some talent. But, I mean, think about it, Joe. Best case scenario. They're what, 2-3 years away? If everything works out, that's best case scenario, right? So they're not going to compete until 21-22.
Right. And he'll be, 30-31, Trout will. So, but the Angels beat the Royals 6-3 last night. I mentioned Mike Trout home run. You mentioned Ohtani home run. What's going on with this closing situation with the Angels? Ty Buttry got the save last night, but worked 1.2 innings. Hansel Robles seems to have taken over as the closer. But Buttry, I think he has what it probably takes to be the closer, but they like, from what I was reading, they like the versatility that he gives, almost like with Hader, with the Brewers kind of being a little reluctant because they like the fact that he could pitch more than an inning.
I think you just said it. Nothing more for me to add there. You really said just what's going on on the closing situation.
Right.
I think one thing we're going to see here with a lot of teams in the future, maybe some this year, some next year, and so on. You notice that we got openers now for teams that don't have enough starters. Well, I think for teams that don't have a true closer, that don't have an Aroldis Chapman, Kenley Jansen, at the top closer, Edwin Diaz, and so on. I think what you're going to see now is teams that are going to realize, you know what? we shouldn't have one guy dedicated for the ninth inning. The bullpen should be right. open to pitching whenever I need them. You know, whenever I need – if my best bullpen reliever – if I need him to pitch in the seventh inning, because that's when the game's on the line, first and second, one out, or that's on the top of the, you know, the 2, 3, 4 batters are coming up, then guess what? That's when that reliever's pitching. I think you're going to see more teams do this, and I think this is what the Angels are doing, that they're going to use mm-hmm. their pitchers when they feel it fits them best. It's listen, baseball-wise, it's the smart thing to do. It'll piss off the right. agents and piss off the players because you can't make money with holes. You know, you need right. those saves. That it's the save statistic may be the worst in professional sports. It really may be the stupidest statistic we have. You know, but fantasy-wise, we have to have it, right? Because it's a category. So we need to play to, mm-hmm. To it. We have to. We don't have an issue here. But I do wonder, Joe, mm-hmm. is if you're going to see more and more teams that don't have that ace closer, you know, that name closer. What is Boutre's agent going to go yell at Los Angeles for not having him close? Is that what Robles' agent going to do? No, there's no standing there. You don't have it. So for teams mm-hmm. that don't have that ace guy, that ace reliever, I wonder if more and more of these teams aren't going to name a closer. You know, it'd be called right. put by committee, which means the guys can pitch anywhere. I think more and more teams are going to do that, which is going to, I mean, kill us fantasy owners trying to figure this out mm-hmm. on a day game by game basis.
Well, what we're going to have to do is, amend the rules to our leagues, and you're going to have to, you know, evolve with the game of baseball and maybe combine. I already play in a league where we're combining holds and saves as a category. I mean, it's going to be get to the point where you can have saves as the primary, you know, reliever category.
I like that. I don't play any leagues that have that currently. I have in the past that have saves and holds as one, saves plus holds. Mm-hmm. But I like that. I think that's the way it should. I think that's actually the way it should be. Once again, it opens mm-hmm. up a more. It opens up the player pool, right? So now you don't have to worry about. You know, my God, there's only 30 closers, and you know, four teams start the season going by committee. That's 26 closers. You know, I didn't get one, or I didn't get three, whatever it might be. It opens up the player pool. Right, the 8th inning mm-hmm. guys, the 7th inning guys. I think in fantasy, especially if my theory is correct, that more teams go with that go with committee and not going to have a set 9th inning guy. I don't think we'll have a choice. We'll have to do that.
Right, absolutely. So Griffin Canning for the Angels yesterday, 7 innings, no runs, 5 Ks, 1 walk. What do you think about him? Is he more a guy that you could roster, but you don't automatically put him in your lineup every week? I mean, you take a look, try to make it like as, you know, matchup based as possible. I mean, obviously this was a favorable matchup against the Royals. I mean, what do you think about Griffin Canning?
He's probably a little bit more than a matchup guy to me. A little bit more. He's close to a matchup guy, mm-hmm. but a little bit more. Maybe I have some faith in him. Once again, right. prospect. You know, they are expecting some things from team can hit. So it's not like starting a Miami guy where, oh God, wins, good luck. You know, it's not going to happen. You know, they'll win some games. They do have some offense there when teams decide to pitch the Trout, which, by the way, I would never pitch the Trout. Calhoun mm-hmm. wants to beat me. Simmons wants to beat me. Pujols wants to beat me. Fine. I'm not letting Trout beat me. That's not happening. Mm-hmm. Take your base, Mike. You want to go try and steal second? Good luck to you. But I'm not pitching to the man. I don't see why teams would do that. Not on that team. But as for Canning, like I said, he's the kind of guy I don't mind picking up. See if it's it's a true breakout year. He's going to be fantastic. I don't think it lasts long term. I think he's a guy I'll end up churning at the bottom of my roster. But I'm starting him mm-hmm. for now.
Right. All right. And just another name of note from this game, Nicky Lopez. We talked about him earlier. Was 0 for 4 yesterday. But I'm sure there'll be plenty of bids put in on him this weekend. Pirates beat the Padres 7-2. We spoke about Josh Bell being white hot, 3 for 4, 2 home runs, now has 14 on the year. Gregory Polanco, 1 for 5 with his 4th home run. Triple slash for Gregory Polanco, 295, 353, 538. Have you seen enough out of this guy where you'd want to possibly trade for him? Maybe not your, I mean, the name recognition might not allow you to trade too. Buy low on him. But what do you think about the rest of the season outlook for Gregory Polanco?
Yeah, listen, anybody's tradable either one way or the other. Either I'll acquire or I'll sell, depending on what the price is, right? If I have, mm-hmm. if I own Mike Trout, he's tradable if someone wants to pay me for him. You know, it's like a Polanco, right. He's tradable if someone wants to sell light. I'll certainly listen. I'm not looking to acquire him. But I do like what I'm seeing there. I mean, he's hitting some bombs as far as home runs. Once again, another guy who may have figured it out. just took some time.
Right.
And I'm never surprised by that, Joe. Baseball is a tough game. You know, in my mind, the hardest thing to do in professional sports is round ball, round bat, hitting it hard. It's going 95, 98 miles an hour. They change speeds on you, and you're worried about not getting killed. I mean, all that. Right. It's incredibly difficult. Not everybody is going to figure it out when they first come up. Some guys are going to take some time here. That's why, you know, I guess it's more keeper and dynasty things, but you need to be patient with these guys. You know, people, it's May 7th, May 19th, and we're running out of patience. You know, and you can't do that in baseball. You need to give these guys time. It's a long season marathon, not a sprint, as we like to say. So you have to be patient. But I do understand why people aren't. I get it. We're a reactionary bunch as fantasy owners.
Yep. Yankees lost to the Rays 2-1. Hung out in first place for a day. That was an 11-inning game. But what do you hear about Masahiro Tanaka? Hit by a comebacker on the shin contusion. Thankfully, x-rays negative. But do you think he makes his next start?
I mean, keep in mind, when he was removed from the game, but it was also after he threw 88 pitches, 6 innings. I don't know if he was coming back anyway, especially the way Boone's been managing this bullpen, managing his starters, where he takes them out really early. You know, Tanaka was pitching fantastic. When it comes to Tanaka, he's rediscovered his split finger. He's throwing it on a different plane now. When he was throwing it higher in the zone, it wasn't dropping enough. Now he's had to learn he's got to throw it lower in the zone because he doesn't have as big a drop, and things are going well again. I have not heard any reports yet. Every now and then, Joe. Every now and then. As far as Tanaka, all the reports, the X-rays are negative. I think he's okay. The Yankees do not have an off day this week. They play 4 in Baltimore, 3 in KC. So his next start will be Thursday afternoon against Baltimore. I would assume he makes it right now. Now, if you're asking me, if this is 24 hours from now, we're actually close to that. Well, actually, I think it's a 1 o'clock game tomorrow. So pretty much 24 hours from now, and I'm in a weekly lineup, and I need to make a decision. I haven't heard anything yet. Yeah, I would probably edge on the side of caution and say maybe he doesn't make it. It is Baltimore. The Yankees might feel they can get by with Luis Cesar in that game, who I believe would start. Or if he doesn't, or Jonathan Lasagna, they might decide to do that. So you might want to be careful here. And generally, I don't like risking zeros, so I probably would sit him. But from everything I'm hearing so far, once again, haven't heard really all that much. I imagine we'll hear more during the Yankee game today. We'll certainly know by tomorrow. But I think he's okay as of right now. If I hear anything before the end of the next show, the weekend fantasy update, we will certainly tell you.
There you go. And I love the fact that you and I have both resigned to call Los Huega as a lasagna. I believe it's Los Huega.
Meat lasagna, man. I could go a little meat lasagna.
There you go. There you go. You had some pizza before. Now you get into the lasagna. You know how to live there, George.
I love Italian food, bro, man. I love Italian food. Little meat lasagna, layer some cheese. Oh, hungry.
Aaron Judge, still no timetable with this guy. Getting concerned because they say that when he comes back, he's really not going to be 100%. This oblique injury, you know, you had Carlos Beltran kind of explain that he's had the same injury, and it takes a while for you to heal, even when you're clear to play, you know, baseball, to get involved in all baseball activities. You're just not yourself. So concerns.
The two injuries you don't want a batter to have are anything with the hands and the wrist, and the oblique. Yeah, because the swing's violent. There's no way of stopping that. The swing is violent. There's really no way for you to know if that injury is healed until you start swinging violent again, which means it's very easy to re-injure. So I think the Yankees, they're lucky. The fact where they have came out of first place, they're playing so well without these guys, they can afford to give Judge the time he needs. And it's May 19th. You're certainly not going to see him until mid-June at the very earliest right now. But you said there is no update. He has not yet begun baseball activities. You know, so you're still waiting. So he's able to do some weight room work, do some running, but he's not doing any baseball activity. So we're still waiting there.
Right.
And before we get to the other Yankees, before you ask me, Stanton, he's expected to begin a rehab assignment tomorrow. So, hey, you might see Stanton before the end of May, early June, if he doesn't suffer any setbacks. I understand that's a big if with Stanton. Didi Gregorius also starting a rehab assignment tomorrow.
That's encouraging, man. Yeah.
And he's going to start at shortstop, which means he's not ahead of schedule. He's right on schedule. Didi believed he could have started earlier. But he's going to start at shortstop, which is a good sign, which means the Yankees believe his throwing is fine. You'll see Didi in 3 weeks. And by the way, once Didi gets called up, the Yankees are actually being a roster crunch. Because you think about it. Didi's going to play short. Torres is going to play second. LeMahieu has to play. I mean, I don't know what happens there. Do they DH him? Does he play over Urshela? Urshela has to play. He's been damn good. Mm-hmm. You know, so the Yankees are actually being a roster crunch.
Where would they be without Urshela?
Yeah. Urshela's been absolutely great. Great find by Cashman. More injuries for the Yankees. Paxton, it looks like they expect him to return either in Baltimore, which, by the way, if Tanaka couldn't pitch Thursday, you could easily see Paxton slide in there. That wouldn't be the biggest shock, but I think Tanaka pitches. But they expect Paxton to return either on the road trip, either in Baltimore sometime Monday to Thursday or over the weekend in Kansas City. So once again, in the weekly lineup league, I'm probably not activating him. Let's see him start first, and I'll go from there. But I do like the idea of him starting versus Kansas City or Baltimore for that matter, but that he's on his way to returning as well. So the Yankees are getting healthier, theoretically. You know, in the next 3 weeks, they could be pretty close to full strength outside of Judge and Severino. But Tatis could be back within that time frame as well.
Right. Just looking at a few pitchers here on the DFS lineup slot here, DraftKings. Got some big-name guys pitching today. Chris Sale, we had spoken about, 11,200 against Houston at home. And then we spoke about Ryu for the Dodgers in Cincinnati, 10,700. And Noah Syndergaard, 10,004 in Miami. Chris Morton of Tampa Bay, 10,100. Bieber, 9,000 against Baltimore. What are you thinking here? Do you have any favorites today?
Well, it's Charlie Morton, not Chris Morton. I don't know. Chris Mortensen, what are you thinking, football? Charlie Morton.
I think I was. Yeah.
Listen, it's all right. Football's all year long. All year long, football.
I know.
Football never goes away.
I can't get it out. Yeah. Yes.
As for today's DFS, once again, if you're doing a DraftKings, you got to get two pitchers going today. I do like Charlie Morton. I do for the price. Mm-hmm. And once again, you think about it. The Yankees can't hit right now. They've done no hitting in this entire series, other than the ninth inning against the bullpen on Friday night. Yeah, they had one run yesterday. That run was scored on a wild pitch. They looked awful yesterday. So I'm totally going to consider Charlie Morton for 10,100. He's one of the cheaper things. Bieber at 9,000. I could think about him. I like Woodruff, but 8,300 against Atlanta. Atlanta's a decent hitting team. Probably not going to go that direction there, but he's someone I could look at as well. I tell you one thing I'm not starting. I'm not going anywhere near Fulton Avich today. 7,700 cheap, but man, he's been awful this year. God,
yes, he
awful.
Has. Yes,
he has. But I think he's still hurt. I don't think he's completely healthy there. So I think that's something you're going to have to figure out here. Oh, you know, I'm seeing a check mark next to Chad Green. Are the Yankees going with the opener today? Is Chad Green starting this game? My guess is that's what's going on. It means nothing with the Yankees.
Yes, I would think
so. Point it out there today. Yeah, I think Chad Green's starting for the Yankees today. So the Yankees are going to go with an opener and a bullpen game. Should be intriguing. I would think Jonathan Lasagna or Luis Sessa comes in after him.
Yep. And you're right. Yankees have had problems scoring runs recently, but DeGio, the guy that they brought up saying, hey, all glove, no bat, it's just proving them wrong.
Well, you know, Gio was a prospect. People forget he was a prospect. But he ended up being, he couldn't hit. Well, he made adjustments. And now all of a sudden he can drive the ball, too. He's hitting great. He looks like a find, you know, for the Yankees. Well, they may have something here. And when Andujar comes back next year, I don't think it'll be as a third baseman anymore.
Interesting. All right, so everyone, thanks for tuning in. Thanks, George. Good job by the Fantasy Prince, Sean Angle. Good luck on the waiver wire this weekend. And we'll see you next week right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Stay tuned for Weekend Fantasy Update with George and Cam.